नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरवभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So today we'll start with the fourth chapter of the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This chapter is titled The Process of Creation by Srila Prabhupada, because Parikshit Maharaj is going to ask questions about creation in this chapter. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur titles this chapter as Shukadev Glorifies the Lord, because that's the second half of this chapter. Shukadev Goswami is not going to directly start speaking about the creation pastimes. He is going to offer prayers first to the Supreme Lord and pray for empowerment, and then he would start speaking. So that constitutes the second half of this chapter. So that's what we'll see in the morning session today, the fourth chapter. So yesterday we ended with Shaunaka the Rishi is trying to inspire Suta Goswami to speak further about the conversation that happened between Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadev Goswami. So today Suta Goswami is going to take this subject matter further.
सूत उवाच वैयासकेरिति वचस्तत्वनिश्चयमात्मनः उपदार्यमतिं कृष्णे औत्तरेयस्सतीं व्यदात्। उपदार्य वैयासकेः वचः, वैयासकी इस शुकदेव गोस्वामी, उपदार्य वैयासकेः वचः, आफ्टर हियरिंग दि वर्ड्स ऑफ शुकदेव गोस्वामी, तत्वनिश्चयमात्मनः, बाय विच Parikshit Maharaj could discern the truth about the soul. Uttareyah, Parikshit Maharaj, the son of Uttara, Matim Vyadat, he concentrated his mind Krishne Satim, which was already situated in Krishna. Okay, so Srila Prabhupada also in this purport and translation gives two different meanings of this. Krishne Matim Satim Matim Vyadat. Prabhupada gives two meanings in his purport. Upadarya Matim Krishne Autareha Satim Vyadat. One meaning is that Parikshit Maharaj concentrated his mind, which was anyway always thinking of Krishna. That means Krishne Satim. His Mati was already Krishne Satim, was established in Krishna, and that mind which was already established in Krishna, he concentrated that mind further. That is the first meaning which is given. And the second meaning is that in the first meaning, sati means it was existing. The second meaning, sati means chaste. So the second meaning is Parikshit Maharaj faithfully applied his concentration upon Krishna after hearing the words of Shukadev Goswami. Like that, Prabhupada in his purport gives two different meanings, and he establishes how both these explanations perfectly fit Parikshit Maharaj. He says, Parikshit Maharaj was naturally a chaste devotee of Krishna, which means his mind was Krishne Satim. It was already present in Krishna right from the beginning, right from the womb, Prabhupada says. And when he further heard about Shukadev Goswami about how only Krishna should be the object of one's worship, okay, either for an akami or a sarvakami or mokshakami, only Krishna tivrena bhakti yogena yajayata purusham param. When he heard this further, his natural affection for Krishna was further strengthened. That's how Prabhupada explains. Then Prabhupada concludes this purport in a very nice way. He says, therefore, to become a pure devotee, two things are needed. First, a chance to be born in a family of devotees. That is the first. And second is, blessings of a bona fide spiritual master. These are the two things. And Prabhupada says, by the grace of Krishna, Parikshit Maharaj had both. He had the chance to be born in the family of such exalted devotees as the Pandavas. And by the grace of Krishna, he had the wonderful association of a spiritual master, Shukadeva Goswami. Like that, Prabhupada explains this. So this is like the internal transformation of Parikshit Maharaj. How by hearing the words of Shukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj's heart got internally transformed. And by mentioning the word sati, it is indicated that his mind was already situated in Krishna. It's not that only after hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, he started thinking about Krishna. His mind was already situated in Krishna. And after hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, he concentrated that mind still further. That is mentioned. Okay, like that. How did it externally manifest? Hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, how did it externally influence Parikshit Maharaj as described in the next verse, second verse? Atmajaya sutagara pashudravina bandushu rajye chavikale nityam virudam mamatam jahau. So it is mentioned that avikale means completely. So Parikshit Maharaj completely gave up mamatam, attachment, atma to body, jaya, wife, suta, sons, agara, house, pashu, animals, dravina, wealth, bandushu, friends, rajye, kingdom. So whatever king can possibly get attached to, he gave up attachment to all that. Then the question arises that if he gave up attachment to that, which means before meeting Shukadeva Goswami, was he attached to all these things? So what it means here is that as a king, he had to maintain and protect all these things. That was his duty. He had to set an example as a king, so he had to do it. So internally he was not attached. But externally, now that Janmejaya has already been enthroned as the king, he is no longer the king, Parikshit Maharaj is no longer the king. So after hearing that Satyam Shitaukim Kashipo Prayasair, after hearing such words, strong words about detachment, even externally he gave up all that. Though internally he was never attached in the first case. Okay, as a matter of duty, he was doing it. So after hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, even externally he gave up his association with all such things. That's what is indicated here. Nityam virudam, such attachment which is very constant and strong in others was completely absent in him. He immediately gave up everything. That's what is indicated here. Okay. So, Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport here. We will go through the purport. Prabhupada writes, to become liberated means to become free from Dehatma Buddhi, the wrong identification. That is, to be free from the illusory attachment to all the things mentioned in this verse. Atma, Jaya, Sutagara, and so on. This automatically happens by attachment to Krishna. Yahan Krishna Tahanahi Mayara Adhikar. Parikshit Maharaj had all the above paraphernalia by the grace of Krishna, and by the same grace he was able to give it all up. By the grace of Krishna only he received everything, and by the same grace of Krishna he could detach himself from all that. This he could do because he never considered any of these his own and always ruled on behalf of the Lord only. How could he give it up so easily? Because he was never attached in the first case. He never considered any of it his own. And he gave it up so easily. See, even in today's day and age, you know, what to speak of 5,000 years back. Even in today's day and age, just recently, you know, it was found out that, you know, the treasury of Ananta Padmanabh Swami temple, so much, you know, so much treasury was found, and everything was actually, you know, the kings who were ruling that area, Thiruvananthapuram area, they had very, you know, dynasty, you know, the whole many, many generations of king had accumulated that wealth and donated it to Ananta Padmanabha Swami temple. And even now there is a current king in the same, in the sense he coming in the same dynasty, where he could actually legally claim that property for himself. It is allowed. But he was, recently we came to know that he was absolutely unaffected. He said it belongs to Ananta Padmanabha Swami. So he said, people were interested, would you at least want to claim a portion of it? It was your, it's, in one sense you can claim it as your ancestral property, and it amounts to nobody knows how much. Maybe in, you know, so many hundred or thousand crores, you can at least claim a portion of it. He says, no. You know, my ancestors never thought it was their property. Why should I think that it is my property? He said, I will not claim. And currently he is living a very, very simple life, you know. It's not that he has any of those kingly opulence or anything. A very ordinary house he's staying. And he can legally claim at least a portion of it. But he says, no, it belongs to Ananta Padmanabha Swami. Such, you know, it was in today's day and age, what all people do to, you know, accumulate, you know, try to get other people's wealth. And it was such a, and that's like, you know, there is something really there in these samskaras, you know, which come, you know, which is handed over, you know, from one generation to another generation. Otherwise, it's very difficult to have such kind of detachment. Especially when people who are absolutely not involved, they are trying to get a hand on Lord's property. A person who can actually, you know, legally claim. And he has a strong case also to claim. But he chooses, no, it belongs to Ananta Padmanabha Swami. Like that. So, here also it's mentioned that because in the first case, Parikshit Maharaj never considered it as his own. Therefore, to give it up was not an issue. Because anyway, in first case only, he didn't think that it belonged to him. So therefore, Prabhupada writes, a devotee of the Lord never thinks of the household paraphernalia to be his own, but he surrenders everything to the service of Krishna and serves under the guidance of a devotee. As such, attachment to household paraphernalia is path of darkness, and attachment to Krishna is the path of light. Okay, Prabhupada contrasts this, but then he says, but darkness can be turned to light by the principle of Yukta Vairagya. Prabhupada says, attachment to things is the path of darkness, detachment is the path of light, but the path of darkness can be converted to the path of light by the process of Yukta Vairagya. Engaging things in the service of Krishna. Okay, but one may, reading, after reading this sentence, one may think that Yukta Vairagya means, you know, if I like something, if I am attached to something, I will sort of offer it to Krishna and then use it for my own gratification. Yukta Vairagya seems like a, you know, license. Okay, but Prabhupada wants here, who is qualified to practice Yukta Vairagya? Prabhupada says in the purport. Prabhupada says, but in order to dovetail, one must be trained. Therefore, Yukta Vairagya is for devotees of the caliber of Parikshit Maharaj. He says, before Yukta, there must be Vairagya, he says. That's how Rupa Goswami defines Yukta Vairagya also. The first quality, he says, is Anasaktasya Vishayan. That which you want to use in the service of Krishna, you must not have attachment to it, first case. Anasaktasya Vishayan. And yata arham upayunjataha. And you can use it only as it is supposed to use. Supposed to be used. How? Nirbandha Krishna sambandhe. Only in relation to Krishna and service to Krishna, one can use it. Nirbandha Krishna sambandhe yukta vairagya muchyate. So therefore, yukta vairagya is a very, very tall process. Not everyone can. The first criteria only, you know, we may fail. Anasaktasya vishayan. First thing, we must not have attachment to, you know, I want to engage this thing only in the service of Krishna. We must not have a personal attachment to it. And yata arham upayunjataha. Only as it must be used only in the service of Krishna, only that much we must use it. Which is like very difficult. We may always cross the line. So therefore, Yukta Vairagya is very, very a lofty process, Prabhupada writes. Only devotees of the caliber of Parikshit Maharaj can follow this process. Prabhupada writes, but for others, one must become free of all material attachment before he can be fit to hear and chant. Like that. So, in one of the fourth canto purports also, Prabhupada commenting on this Yukta Vairagya principle, he says that till the time one learns to see everything as belonging to Krishna, till the time one learns to see everything as belonging to Krishna, till that time one must see, one must differentiate between material and spiritual things, he says. We may say that everything can be utilized in the service of Krishna, everything belongs to Krishna. That is Yukta Vairagya. But Prabhupada wants, he says that, are you able to see everything as belonging to Krishna? Everything. But if we have not received that vision, naturally, then one must learn to differentiate between material and spiritual objects and choose only the spiritual objects. Like that. Anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. That's what he is indicating in this verse. Atma jaya sutagara pashudravina bandushu rajye cha avikale nityam virudam mamatam jahau. Externally also he gave up everything. Then papracchachemam evartam yanmam pruchata sattama krishnanubhava shravane shraddha dano mahamanah. Okay, we'll take one verse at a time. Okay, so he says, oh great devotees, sattamaha. It's in plural because Sruta Goswami is addressing Shaunakadi rishis. Mahamanaha, intelligent Parikshit Maharaj, Krishna Anubhava Shravane Shraddhadanaha, who had full faith in hearing activities of Krishna. Krishna Anubhava Shravane Shraddhadanaha. Who had full faith in hearing the topics of Krishna, papracha imam evartam. He asked this question, yad mam prachat, that you are asking me. Whatever you are asking me, in the same mode, Parikshit Maharaj further questioned Shukadeva Goswami with great faith in hearing. Okay, so last 2 days we have been seeing, you know, that this faith in hearing is the qualification for practice of sadhana bhakti. Like we saw, edrichaya matkatadau jata shraddhostyase yav puman. Okay, that is the basic qualification for practice of sadhana bhakti. If one has developed that faith in the limbs of bhakti by the association of devotees, through the mercy of devotees, then that is the qualification. Further qualifications are, you know, in detail mentioned by Krishna to Uddhava in Uddhav Gita, 11th canto. Two places Krishna mentions. Okay. But one of those verses is like very in detail, describes all the qualification of a Vaidhi Sadhaka. Very relevant verse, we will see. This is the verse. Jata Shraddho Mat Katasu Nirvinna Sarva Karmasu Veda Dukkatmakam Kaman Parityage Pyanishwarah Tato Bajeta Mam Prita Shraddalur Drida Nishchaya Jushamanaschatan Kaman Dukko Darkamscha Garhayan. So he says, Jata Shraddho Mat Katasu. That is the first quality he mentions. He must have awakened faith in the narrations of my glory. This is Mat Katasu, or as Krishna says, Mat Katadau, means starting from Shravanam, okay, and Kirtanam, Smaranam, and so on. He must have faith in all that. Like we saw yesterday, or a day before yesterday, I mentioned the example of my father, that how he was appreciating the prasadam, not because it was prasadam, but because it was nicely cooked. He was appreciating the devotees not because they were devotees, but because they were so kind and well-behaved. But when can we say that now he has become qualified for bhakti? When one day he starts appreciating the food, not because it's well-cooked, but because it was cooked for Krishna. And he starts appreciating the devotees, not because they are so well behaved, of course because of that also, but also because they are devotees of Krishna. Oh, they are devotees of Krishna, I want to take their association. Like that. So then he has reached the stage of, he has reached from the stage of Agyata Sukriti to Shraddha. So Jata Shraddho Mat Katasu, that is the first qualification mentioned by Krishna. Then he says, Nirvinna Sarvakarmasu. Okay? Which means, he does not think that apart from bhakti, I have to perform anything else also to achieve success. Or, in other sense, he does not think that, Are mera pitaji ka shrar da raha hai this month. If I don't perform, then I will get some sinful reactions. If that kind of inhibitions or that kind of inclinations he must not have. He must have faith that Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma krita hoy. Shraddha shabde vishwasa kahe sudrida nishchay. That's how Chaitanya Charitamrita says. So one must have faith that by just by merely practicing bhakti, all the other obligations are taken care. That faith must be there. This is the second qualification that Krishna gives to Uddhava. And then he says, Veda Dukkatmakam Kaman. Based on his personal experience and also based on his understanding of scriptures, he is convinced, at least theoretically convinced, that any endeavor for sense gratification will eventually lead to suffering. Okay? I see some sweet, you know, I eat one and it's so delicious. I want to eat one more. Okay. I know that eventually I am going to suffer. But still, the next line he says, Parityage api anishwaraha. He knows that any endeavor for sense gratification would lead to suffering. But he is not always able to be, he is not always successful in avoiding sense gratification. Sometimes he falls down. Okay. Krishna has a very, you know, from Vaidhi Sadhaka, Krishna has a realistic expectation. He says, he understands that, he understands that any endeavor for sense gratification would lead to suffering, but he may not always be able to control his senses. That's why yesterday we saw Ishvara, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma, Bhagavan Ishvaro Harihi. The Lord is addressed as Ishvara in order to relate to the Vaidhi Sadhakas, whose only fear is, will I be able to control my senses and engage them in Krishna? He says, don't worry, the Lord is Ishvara, he will control your senses also, like that. So, this is the fourth qualification. He may not always be able to control his senses. He may sometimes fall down. But then he says, so what should he do? Tato bhajeta mam prita. He says, don't worry. Happily worship me. Happily continue to worship me. Shraddhalur drida nishchaya. With great faith in the process, that this process will purify me. I don't need to take shelter of any other process. First get purified and take up to bhakti. Just by merely practice of bhakti, I can get purified. Drida nischaya. With full determination, one should apply himself to practice of bhakti. Even if one may fall down, get up. With great determination, apply again to the process. Jushamanascha tan kaman dukko darkamscha garhayan. And at the time when he falls down, if he is not able to live up to the standards, he is very regretful. He is regretful, but at the same time, he happily engages in serving Krishna with full determination and faith in the process. Okay, this is the full-fledged definition of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti that Krishna gives to Uddhava in Uddhava Gita. Let's try to, you know, enumerate these qualities, these symptoms of Vaidhi Sadhaka that he gives. And we can try to reflect that. So many times, many of the questions in the last 2 days that devotees were asking is that we are also not able to, you know, perfectly meditate on the deity form of the Lord or the holy name. So should we take up to Virat Roop meditation and purify ourselves? What is the, how is it relevant for the devotees like that? So, of course, we discussed this on the basis of qualification. Okay. So, who should meditate on Virat Roop? Who should meditate on the deity form only? Continue to. So, this verse is a classic answer to that. So, we can ask ourselves, you know, do we have these symptoms? Okay. If we have these symptoms, then according to Srimad Bhagavatam's definition, we are qualified to practice Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And as practitioners of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, we can meditate on the deity form. We need not meditate on the Virat form of the Lord. So first, we will try to recall. First thing he says is, Jata Shraddho Matkatasu. He has awakened faith in the process of bhakti starting with hearing. How many of us have this quality? The fact that morning 3 hours, evening 3 hours, we all are sitting here discussing Harikatha is the proof that we have Shraddha. If we didn't have Shraddha, why would he sit here? Why would he participate in the morning chanting? Why would he participate in the Aarti of the Supreme Lord? Why would we worship the deities? Throughout the day, we can ask what kind of activities we are doing. The fact that we are engaging most of our time in all these activities is the proof that we have the Shraddha. So that is, first point is, you know, okay, most of us we have. Nirvinna Sarva Karmasu. Disgusted with prescribed duties. We have so much other seva. Where is the time to perform any other, you know? Most of us, how much do we know what our prescribed duty is? Which varna, which ashrama, what is the prescribed duty? What do the... Most of us don't even know that. Okay. So, what to speak of having faith in practicing that? Okay, that is, you know, the second symptom is, in one sense, you know, we have crossed that age, you know, where it's no longer relevant in one sense. Veda dukkatmakam kaman. That conviction we have based on our experience, isn't it? Any endeavor for sense gratification eventually leads to suffering. And parityage api anishwaraha. How many of us fall in this category? Always we are able to give up sense gratification? Not possible. Sometimes, you know, we may indulge a little more, you know, two more, three more, you know, like that. Jushamanascha tan kaman dukko darkamscha garhayan. Unable to give up sense gratification, he sincerely repents for engaging in such acts. How many of us do that? Repentance is there when we are not able to live up to the standard, isn't it? And Krishna's instruction is, Tato bhajeta mam prita shraddhalur dridanischaya. Remain happy, worship me with great faith and conviction. This is what Krishna says. Don't give up the process. With great faith in the process and with great determination, continue practicing the process. That's what he says. So, it's a very classic verse. And Acharya has very repeatedly quote this verse and you know, under various contexts. So, here it is mentioned about Parikshit Maharaj that Krishnanubhava Shravane Shraddhadano Mahamanaha. He had very absolute faith in this process of hearing Krishna Katha from Shukadeva Goswami. So this indicates, so this is not just an initial qualification, and when one progresses in bhakti, one need not have this. It's not like that. Any initial qualification mentioned for bhakti condenses more and more as one progresses further. For example, let's take this one example of Krishnanubhava Shravane Shraddhadana. Faith in hearing the pastimes of the Lord. When it reaches bhava, it becomes asaktis tad gunakyane. We saw the reliable symptoms of bhava. Asaktis tad gunakyane means great taste for hearing about the activities, pastimes, qualities and the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, these initial qualities, initial symptoms are not just initial symptoms. These initial symptoms become more and more condensed when one progresses in the path of Vaidhi Sadhana and further. Okay. So that's what is indicated here. Okay. Let's continue.
Samstam vijnaya sanyasya karma traivargikam chayat Vasudeve Bhagavati Atma Bhavam Dridam Gataha.
Samstam Vijnaya. Understanding that that death has come near now. Sanyasya Karma Traivargikam Chayat. And giving up all the Traivargika Karma. Traivargika Karma means Dharma, Artha, Kama. He gave up all those activities. Vasudeve Bhagavati Atma Bhavam Dridam Gataha. And he became firmly fixed in Prema to Krishna. So this seems little contradictory here. The second line says, Vasudeve Bhagavati Atma Bhavam Dridam Gataha. This line indicates that he was qualified for bhakti. Because it's mentioned that he was performing Prema. The first line says that Sanyasya Traivargikam Karma. He gave up performing Dharma, Artha and Kama. This is little confusing because it is mentioned, the Shastras mentioned that what is real piety? Shastras say, Sve Sve Adhikare Yanishta Saguna Parikirtitaha. 11th canto again, Uddhava Gita, Krishna says, true piety means engaging in activities according to one's own position. Sve sve adhikare yanishta sa guna parikirtitaha. Okay, therefore there is no activity that is inherently pious or inherently impious. It depends on who performs that activity. Okay. So if one is qualified for bhakti, but if he performs varnashram, it is an impious activity. Especially if that activity of varnashram is in conflict with bhakti. For example, shraddha is one such thing. There are many varnashram activities which are not in conflict with bhakti. For example, taking bath. It's not one of the 9 limbs of bhakti. But it's not unfavorable or conflicting with the principles of bhakti. It's very much favorable. One need not give up those activities of varnashram which are not in conflict with the principles of bhakti. But when they are in direct conflict with the principles of bhakti, then a person who is qualified for bhakti should give up the varnashram duties, that which is conflicting, and should continue to perform only the bhakti, the limbs of bhakti. Okay, so therefore Krishna says sve sve adhikare yanishta sa guna parikirtita. Real piety is practicing that which one is qualified for. So if one is qualified for karma, if one has not yet gained that qualification of bhakti, of shraddha, then one should not prematurely give up their prescribed duties and then take up the practice of bhakti. Because Krishna says, because he does not have faith in bhakti yet, he has not gained the bhakti adhikar. So it's just a question of time. After 2 days, 3 days, 2 weeks or 3 weeks, he'll eventually give up that practice of bhakti also. And he has already given up his varnashram for taking up to bhakti. So now he is left outside the Vedic fold. Neither is he practicing bhakti, nor is he practicing varnashram. So therefore he is outside the Vedic fold. So therefore, someone who is qualified for devotional, qualified for karma, he should not prematurely give up what he is qualified for and take up to bhakti also. He can simultaneously practice bhakti, but he should not give up his prescribed duties. This is what Uddhava, Krishna tells to Uddhava in another verse. He says, Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata matkata shravanadavva shraddha yavanna jayate. He says, till that time, faith in hearing my pastimes and other limbs of devotional service has not dawned in the heart of a person, he should not prematurely give up his prescribed duties and just take up to full-fledged devotional service. Because it's just a question of time, okay, before when he will be out of both practice of bhakti and varnashram. Then he is left nowhere. He is left shelterless. So therefore, in this verse, Sve Sve Adhikare Yanishta, Krishna says, steadiness in one's own position is declared to be actual piety. We see this example of in Mahabharata, of this Brahmana who goes to beg food, and he's a very powerful Brahmana, and he goes to beg food. The wife says, please wait while I'm serving my husband. You have heard this story, right? And Govindprabhu always mentions this story, that she's serving her husband, and after serving her husband, then she comes to serve her brahmana, which is proper etiquette for a chaste wife. Okay? And suddenly he becomes so angry, and he is trying to burn her, because just before coming there, he was taking bath and performing his Sandhya Vandanam in the river, and suddenly a bird which was flying on top, it drops her droppings on this Brahmana. And seeing this, he becomes so upset. He gazes at the bird with anger, and that bird burns to ashes and falls down. So he's surprised. He didn't realize so much was his Brahmanical prowess. And then he takes bath, goes to beg food from this house, and this lady comes out, and it becomes delayed. So he becomes very angry, and he gazes at her in great anger. So she says, don't worry, your gaze cannot burn me down. And she explains, and he's surprised. How did she know what happened, when I was in the river? So then she explains that it's because of chastity. And then he says that if you want to really understand what true dharma is, then you go to Varanasi. In Varanasi, there is a butcher by the name Dharma Vyad. He will teach you what is dharma. His false ego is totally shattered. He is a Brahmana. And such a powerful Brahmana, but just by his gaze, by his Brahmanical power, that bird was, burnt to ashes. Now this one lady is telling him You know, you go to Varanasi and that butcher will teach you dharma. What can be more insulting? But then he says, okay, I'll still do it. So he walks all the way to Varanasi to learn what is that. So he finds that dharma vyad. So that dharma vyad happens to be a butcher. So he's cutting meat, selling that meat. And then later in the evening, of course, he explains what is dharma and all that. That description is there. The reason why I'm telling this story is that what is piety, what is impiety, is depends on who is performing it. For a butcher, killing animals is not an impious activity. But when a brahmana does it, it is impious. And for a person who is qualified for bhakti, he may perform his prescribed duties. But if that prescribed duty is in conflict with his bhakti engagement, then that practice of swadharma is an impious activity. It's not a pious activity. So the activity itself is not pious or impious. It depends on the qualification. The person who is performing that activity, what is his qualification? Because Krishna says here, Sve sve adhikare yanishta sa guna parikirtitaha. Steadiness in one's own position is declared to be actual piety. Viparyayastu doshasyad. Whereas acting against that is impiety. Very simple definition of piety and impiety. He is not defining piety and impiety in terms of activity. He is defining piety and impiety in terms of qualification of that person. So who performs decides whether that activity is pious or impious. The activity itself is not. If a brahmana kills, it's an impious activity. Whereas if a kshatriya kills in a battlefield, it's pious activity. If he refrains to kill, it's impious activity. Okay? So, that's what is described here. So, Srila Jiva Goswami commenting on this. So, this is quoted by Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu to establish the qualification of devotional service. So he says that for the person qualified for pure bhakti, performance of the actions of karma or jnana and failure to perform bhakti, both are faults. Because a person, he is of a higher qualification. If he does something which is lower than his qualification, it's an impious activity. So here, it is mentioned that Parikshit Maharaj gave up his Traivargika Karma. Which means, before giving up, he was practicing. So if he is qualified for bhakti, why was he practicing Traivargika Karma, Dharma Artha Kama? Then isn't that an impious activity according to definition of Krishna in Uddhava Gita? Sve Sve Adhikare Yanishta. If his Adhikara was bhakti, why was he practicing karma traivargikam? Okay. So, it is described in the fifth canto, describing the pastimes of Bharat Maharaj. It is mentioned that Bharat Maharaj also, every day, or Ambarish Maharaj for that matter, or Prithu Maharaj, all these great Rajarshis who are clearly, whose adhikar was bhakti, but it is mentioned about their lifestyle, that they would very scrutinizingly perform all the kingly activities, all the sacrifices, all the karmakandya, so-called karmakandya sacrifices for getting rain, and all those activities they would very scrutinizingly perform. Then one may say, if you perform all this karmakandya activity, then you are going to get the pious credit for it. And if it is improperly performed, you would get the impious credit also for it. Okay? So how one who is qualified for bhakti, why he should practice all these other karma? Especially when any kamya karma should never be performed by one who is qualified for pure bhakti. Okay? Some of the nitya naimitika karmas, which are not, kamya karma means that which is done in order to achieve some material goal. For example, putra kameshti yagya is there. That is a kamya karma. Okay? Performing some yagya to get rain. Okay? That is a kamya karma. So for a person who is qualified for devotional service, and kamya karmas are always against the principles of bhakti, Because by nature, bhakti should be anyabhilashita shunyam. So performance of kamya karma is against the principles of bhakti. And here was Parikshit Maharaj, who was actually performing kamya karma yagyas. All the yagyas that he was practicing, was most of them were kamya karmas only. Isn't this an impious act by Parikshit Maharaj, one may ask? Okay, very wonderful purport is mentioned in the 5th canto, description about Bharat Maharaj, where he was also performing all these yagyas every day. But what was the mode of performance? It is mentioned, first point that is mentioned is that he would personally not perform those yagyas. There was a provision. While you can nominate a proxy, the Advaryu priest could perform that yagya. The Advaryu priest could double up as an Advaryu priest and the Yajaman, or as a representative of the Yajaman. The Yajaman is the one who is supporting that yagya. Okay, Parikshit Maharaj is the Yajaman, or in that case Bharat Maharaj was the Yajaman. So he can nominate a proxy. Advaryu priest can act as both the Advaryu priest and a proxy for the Yajaman. So therefore, Parikshit Maharaj himself was engaging in Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. And simultaneously under his name, the Yajna was also going on. So by that, what he is accomplishing? He is setting the right example for his subjects. Because in all probability, because Krishna says Manushyanam Sahasreshu, okay, amongst thousands and thousands of people, only one will take up to devotional service. So even statistically, if you see, in any kingdom, at least 90% of population would not be qualified for pure devotional service. Therefore, they should not prematurely give up their prescribed duties also. So if the king himself is seen to give up his prescribed duties, then his subjects would also give up. Raja is not following his duty, which means it is not mandatory to follow our prescribed duties. They may think like that. So in order to set the right example, he was performing all these duties, but not personally. He would personally be in his, this is clearly mentioned about Ambarish Maharaj also, that he would not personally be present in any of these sacrifices. He would be performing the Navada Bhakti, while his Advaryu priests, who were actually qualified for karma only, their qualification was for karma. So he would engage them according to their qualification in performing these sacrifices. Okay. So that provision was there. Okay. So therefore, Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Karmanaiva hi samsiddhim astito janakadayaha loka sangraham evapi sampashyan kartumarhasi. He mentions about Janak Maharaj. He says, great personalities like Janak Maharaj, even though they were qualified for, they were highly qualified, they were qualified devotees, but still they would continue to perform their prescribed duties, loka sangraham eva, for the purpose of setting the right example for his subjects, so that they don't prematurely give up what they are qualified for, which is karma. So two reasons we have seen. First thing, he would not be personally present. Second thing, to set the right example. And third most important thing, it is mentioned that either Bharat Maharaj or Parikshit Maharaj or Ambarish Maharaj, none of them felt that by performing this yagya, I am progressing in my bhakti. They had no faith in these yagyas. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that Ashraddaya hutam dattam tapastaptam kritam chayat asad iti uchyate partha nachatat pretyano iha. Krishna says Ashraddaya hutam dattam, any sacrifice or tapasya or anything performed without faith in that practice, Ashraddaya hutam, he says asat iti uchyate, it's as good as not doing that process. Why? Nachatat pretya noiha, because it will not give any fruit in this life or next life. So if Parikshit Maharaj was performing those yagyas with no faith in them, then by properly performing that yajna externally, he will not get any pious credit for it because he has no shraddha. And by improper performance of it, he will not get it any impious credit because he has no shraddha. Because it's a ashraddaya hutam dattam. Therefore, for these three reasons, all these kings who were responsible for their subjects continued to perform their traivargika karma. For what purpose? Three reasons we have seen. Can you recall? What is the first reason? To set the right example, because the subjects may not be qualified for pure devotional service. And if they are not qualified for pure devotional service, they should not give up their prescribed duties. Because that's their qualification. First reason. Second, he was personally not present. He appointed an Advaryu priest to carry out that sacrifice on his behalf. What is the third reason? He didn't have faith that by performance of these yajnas, he would gain anything. He would progress on his spiritual path. So therefore, it was as good as not performing that yajna like that. Okay? So, that's what is mentioned about. That's the reason why he continued. So therefore, it's not a contradiction that Parikshit Maharaj or these other kings continued to perform their traivargika karma even though they were qualified for performance of pure devotional service like that. Okay. So what was the question that, what were the questions that Parikshit Maharaj further asked, which led to further discussion which continued for the next 7 days. Okay. So Parikshit Maharaj is starting now. Samichinam vacho brahman sarvagyasya tavanagha tamo vishiryate mahyam hare katyata katam. So, O Brahmana, anagha, O sinless Brahmana, Shukadeva Goswami, sarvagyasya. So, Parikshit Maharaj himself is telling Shukadeva Goswami what kind of an effect, because till now for 3 chapters, Shukadeva Goswami has spoken. After asking the original question at the end of first canto, Parikshit Maharaj just spoke once in between. One small clarification he asked. But otherwise no serious questioning he has done till now. The original question he asked was at the end of first canto. Then 3 chapters full, Shukadeva Goswami has spoken. So now, before asking further questions, he is mentioning that what effect, hearing till now, what effect it has had on him. So he is telling, Harehe Katyata Katam, please speak the topics of the Lord. When you speak the topics of the Lord that you have spoken till now, Tamo Vishiryate Mayam, my ignorance has been completely destroyed by hearing you. Tava vachaha samichinam. These words perfectly befit your stature. Okay, you are such a great personality and you have spoken words perfectly befitting your stature as a very advanced devotee. And the result is that the ignorance within my heart is getting dissipated. So therefore, please continue to speak Harikatha. Like that. So, if you see, for any speaker, you know, he needs that constant, not exactly encouragement, of course, but not exactly encouragement, but whether, you know, there is acknowledgement that whether the targeted audience are getting the targeted benefit or not. So, therefore, recently I was hearing Madhav Gopal Prabhu, or one of our brahmacharis at GV, he was giving a class and he was telling, we should appreciate Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. For 7 days he spoke continuously to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without receiving any acknowledgement. So, probably Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gained tremendous sukriti by just one act of speaking for seven continuous days without receiving a single acknowledgement from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But it's very difficult for anyone to speak, whether recently Chaitanya Charan Prabhu was also mentioning, just few days back, he was giving a class in the morning, and he was mentioning that once he was giving a Skype class, and he was so absorbed giving the class with his eyes closed that he didn't realize that the connection got disconnected. And for 15 minutes he spoke, and he had kept his cell phone on silent mode. So those devotees who are hearing it from Bangalore, they were giving continuous missed calls for reconnecting. But he was so absorbed in speaking with his eyes closed that for 15 minutes he didn't realize that the connection was gone. Okay. But then he realized that, and then he mentioned that out of his humility he said that when I opened my eyes and I saw that the connection was gone and realized that 15 minutes I had spoken, but no one heard. He said, I was very frustrated. I have wasted 15 minutes, without, reaching out to the audience. Because, he was mentioning, because that constant, in the same context, he was mentioning the reciprocation of the listener. When there must be some acknowledgement that the intended effect is there. So, therefore, Parikshit Maharaj very much acknowledging that need for the speaker also. So he says, Tamo Vishiryate Mayam. He says, your words are having the intended effect. The ignorance within my heart is getting destroyed by hearing your words. And therefore, these words are perfectly befitting your stature as a very exalted personality. So please continue speaking Harikatha. Like that, he's mentioning. Okay. So Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport. Prabhupada says, this verse talks about the practical experience of Parikshit Maharaj, but this effect can be felt only if the hearer is sincere and the speaker is uncontaminated by material tinges. So Prabhupada gives the qualification for when would this tamo vishiryate mayam happen? When would this clearance of ignorance from the heart happens? Prabhupada says that if the hearer is sincere and if the speaker is uncontaminated by material tinges, then this intended effect will be there. So, then Prabhupada writes, what is the crucial test for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? Prabhupada says that one should get a positive enlightenment by such a hearing. Prabhupada says, Bhakti Pareshanubhavo Viraktir Anyatracha. He doesn't quote, but he is writing the translation of this verse. He says, this positive enlightenment, Para Isha Anubhava, like yesterday also, His Grace Radhesham Prabhu was mentioning in his morning japa talk, that Para Isha Anubhava is a crucial test for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. That's what Parikshit Maharaj is also telling. Tamo Vishiryate Mayam, like that. So we'll continue.
Bhuya Eva Vivitsami Bhagavan Atma Mayaya Yatedam Srijate Vishvam Durvibhavyam Adishwaraihi.
Again, I ask you, my dear Shukadev Goswami, Yata Bhagavan Atma Mayaya Idam Vishvam Srijate. How does the Lord, Yata Bhagavan, how does the Supreme Lord, Atma Mayaya, by His energy, Idam Vishvam Srijate, how does He create this material universe by using His Maya Shakti? Durvibhavya Madhishwaraihi. And this subject matter is very difficult, even for the devatas to understand. So please explain the subject matter to me. So here, Prabhupada gives a beautiful purport here. He says that for anyone who is inquisitive, questions about creation is natural. One of the questions which they will naturally ask is, how this material universe is manifest? That's a natural question. For every unknown question, one should approach an authority, and such an authority should be a Sarvagya. Okay, as in the previous verse, he says, Sarvagyasya Tavanaga. Parikshit Maharaj is addressing Shukadeva Goswami. He should be like Shukadeva Goswami. And then another very important point that Prabhupada is writing here is, Parikshit Maharaj had no doubts about the origin of creation. He is not asking who created this universe. He is asking how did the Supreme Lord create this universe. Okay. He just wanted to know about the process of creation. He had no doubts about who the creator is. Therefore, no intelligent person will doubt the hands of God behind creation. Like that. So, therefore, Prabhupada, right? Therefore, we don't accept the theory that the energy is independently powerful of the energetic. Like that. So, very interesting point that Prabhupada makes here. In the later part of the purport, Prabhupada says, neither did Parikshit Maharaj directly ask about Vrajalila, nor did Shukadeva Goswami jump directly to the 10th canto. Both of them proceeded systematically so that both the speaker and hearer of Srimad Bhagavatam might take lessons from the example of the procedure of reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. So neither did Parikshit Maharaj ask about Vrajalila, which he was entitled to ask. He could have asked, and Parikshit Maharaj could have spoken, because it's very clear that Parikshit Maharaj had the qualification of hearing such leela. But neither did he ask, nor did. And if Parikshit Maharaj may ask something, but Shukadeva Goswami may choose to speak that which is more relevant to him. Like say, for example, sometimes the day before exam, the student may approach the professor to get some doubts clarified. He says, you know, I have these doubts, can you please clarify? The professor has only set the question paper. Okay, so he can say, you see, you are asking these four topics. These two topics are not relevant from the examination point of view. So I will explain this to you after the exam. Okay, and only on these two topics I will speak. So though the student has expressed a desire to hear about certain topics, because the professor knows better, he may choose to explain only that which is relevant from the exam point of view of that student. So even though Parikshit Maharaj has accepted Shukadeva Goswami as a spiritual master and he is asking questions related to creation, if Parikshit Maharaj thought that Vrajalila is more relevant to him, and it's not that, you know, there were not sufficient pastimes of Vrajalila which could not be discussed for 7 days. You know, what is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam is only a very small portion of what Krishna performs in a single day. There is much more to it, and the leela is nitya leela. He could have described, he could have said, yes, that's a very valid question, but for you know, this is better. Let me speak about this. So he just directly answers the questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj, like that. So therefore the lesson is that one in the material world must first know how the material energy works, and then he can try to enter his Vraja pastimes. And Prabhupada writes, even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami warns one about the pitfall of neglecting the Aishwarya Gyan of Krishna. Only a proper understanding of the Aishwarya Gyan can produce firm faith in a devotee. Only those who have properly qualified themselves with Aishwarya Gyan can properly relish the higher pastimes of the Lord. Okay. So in this regard, one very interesting verse, you know, that comes in the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. So, Shukadeva Goswami has described about the Virat manifestations in the 2nd canto, primary creation in the 3rd canto, secondary creation in the 4th canto, and the Vedic cosmology, how the Vedic cosmological system, how it is situated, that was described in the 5th canto. And fifth canto has ended. He is just going to start the sixth canto. And just one verse before the last verse of sixth canto, he speaks this verse. Very interesting verse. When we read it for the first time, we were shocked to hear, read this verse. He says, it's a prose verse. Of course, we know fifth canto is filled with all kinds of lengthy prose verses. It's not poetry. So I'll just read the translation. So Shukadeva Goswami tells to Parikshit Maharaj, in the beginning, that is the second and third cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, I have already described how one can progress on the path of liberation. Okay, we saw till now. In the Puranas, the universe divided into 14 parts is described as the gross body of the Supreme Lord Narayan, made of this material Maya. That also we saw, second canto. It will continue in the third and also in the fifth, okay, cantos. If one reads the description of this external form of the Lord with great faith, or if one hears about it or explains it to others and develops faith, bhakti and pure intelligence, okay, the last part is the most important. If one hears the description of this material form of the Supreme Lord in the form of Virat Roop, or the Purushavataras, the expansions of the Lord who take care of the material creation, maintenance and destruction, if one hears such topics with faith and attention, then Shukadeva Goswami says, then he will understand the topic of the Supreme Lord, which like an Upanishad is difficult to understand. He says, if one hears and understands these topics of the Purushavataras and the Virat form of the Lord with faith, which is relatively easy to understand, then one can further understand the higher pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan and other places, which like Upanishads are very difficult to understand. We had the opposite conception, isn't it? These topics are difficult to understand, whereas the pastimes of Krishna stealing butter and killing Kaliya and Arishtasur, these are like, very straightforward, easy pastimes to understand. Whereas Shukadeva Goswami says, if one understands these topics of Krishna's dealing with the material energy properly, then he is telling the other topics of the Supreme Lord in relation to his spiritual energy, he says, they are like Upanishads, very difficult to understand. But these topics are very relatively easy to understand, like that. It was like a very shocking verse to read when we actually read it. But so same thing that Prabhupada is mentioning this in the purport, that there must be a systematic approach to the topics. Neither is Parikshit Maharaj asking about the Vrajalila, nor is Shukadeva Goswami directly jumping to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, like that. So now, after asking, how this creation happens, he clarifies his question. He says, Yata gopayati vibhur, yata samyachate punaha, yamyam shaktim upashritya, purushakti parafpuman, atmanam kridayan kridan, karoti vikaroti cha. He says, he clarifies his question, what exactly he wants to know about creation. Okay? From the way a person asks a question, you can understand how much he already knows about the subject. Based on the details that he is presenting, you can understand how much he already knows about the subject. So Parikshit Maharaj is clarifying what exactly he wants to know about creation. He says, Yata gopayati vibhur. Gopayati means to maintain, as in goptriptve varanam. How the Lord maintains. Okay, yata gopayati vibhur. I desire to know how the Lord maintains. Yata samyachate punaha. And how does he destroy the universe again? Yam yam shaktim upashritya. By which shaktis? What are the various energies that the Supreme Lord uses? Who is the Supreme Lord? Purushakti parappuman. This Lord who is the possessor of many shaktis. Parasya shaktir vividaiva shruyate. There are many shaktis that the Supreme Lord possesses. Of those many shaktis, which are the shaktis that he uses to create, maintain and destroy this universe. And then he says, Atmanam kridan karoti. How does the Lord, Atmanam means by his own self, kridan means sport, karoti. How does he sport with the Maya? Indicating, how does he personally create this universe in the case of primary creation? It is mentioned, Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti. The Lord glances at Prakriti and empowers the Prakriti to further continue the creation. So he says, how does the Lord perform primary creation? And then he says, Kridayan. Kridan means to play himself. Kridayan means to make someone else play. Indicating, how does he employ the devatas, prajapatis and others in secondary creation? How does he himself engage in the primary creation? And how does he engage the other devatas in secondary creation? So basically Parikshit Maharaj is asking Shukadeva Goswami, please explain to me how the Lord personally creates this universe in primary creation and how he empowers the devatas and prajapatis to carry out the secondary creation. That's what he is asking. Okay. So, this is the seventh verse. Then he further continues.
Nunam bhagavato brahman harer adbhuta karmanah durvibhavyam ivabhati kavi bischapi cheshtitam.
So he says, one may say that just see the sophisticated way in which Parikshit Maharaj is presenting his question. Just by reading his question, you understand that he knows a lot about creation. Just in four lines or six lines, he very clearly indicates how primary creation is carried out by Lord personally, by engaging his Maya potency, and how secondary creation is carried out by the other devatas and prajapatis being empowered by the Supreme Lord. So much details he has furnished in just one verse. So Shukadeva Goswami may ask, based on your question, it is apparent that you know sufficiently about creation. Why you want to hear more about creation? So he clarifies in this verse again. He says, Nunam bhagavato brahman harer adbhuta karmanah durvibhavyam ivabhati kavi bischapi cheshtitam. He says, Bhagavataha harehe cheshtitam. The activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, adbhuta karmanah, of that Lord who performs wonderful activities, nunam durvibhavyam iva abhati. It certainly appears very difficult to understand. I may have presented a very sophisticated question, but then there are so many details which I don't understand about this process of creation. And it's very difficult to understand. Kavivischa api, even for the very wise and intelligent people, this subject matter seems to be very difficult to understand. So therefore I'm asking you, please clarify. I want to hear more about this subject matter. Okay. So that's what he is indicating in this eighth verse. And Prabhupada here writes in the purport, this material world is only 1/4 of the whole manifestation. It's called Ekpad Vibhuti. One pada is 1/4. Okay. And the spiritual world is called the Tripad Vibhuti, which means the 3/4. Okay. Vaikuntha is Tripad Vibhuti and it is not created and annihilated. It is an eternal dham. Also, the Lord is anadi. He is beginningless. Therefore, all this is very difficult for common man to understand because he has not seen anything that is eternal. He has not seen anyone who is eternal. He has not seen any object which is eternal. So therefore, when speaking about eternal things, which means the spiritual abode, spiritual supreme Lord, it's very difficult to understand. So therefore, this whole discussion starts with creation and annihilation of this material world, which the conditioned living entity can relate with. That's what Prabhupada is writing here in the purport. Even with respect to this Ekpad Vibhuti, that is this material world, the scientists are totally confused and they have many, many opinions. These opinions keep changing. Okay? Like that Prabhupada writes. Therefore, it's very difficult to for And Prabhupada also writes the same thing in the purport. He says, from Parikshit Maharaj's own admission in the 7th verse, it is very clear that he knew the process of creation. Why then did he ask Sukadeva Goswami again? The way he has asked this question, it's very clear that he knows sufficiently about creation. So Prabhupada says, because that much knowledge was not sufficient, therefore he says, Durvibhavyam ivabhati kavibhischapi cheshtitam. Therefore, he is telling that these such activities of the Supreme Lord with respect to creation are very difficult to understand, even for the wise people. Therefore, speak on such subject matters more elaborately like that. And then Prabhupada says, the Lord is unlimited, and therefore with limited knowledge and imperfect senses, persons even up to Brahma cannot understand the Supreme Lord. Therefore, one can understand it only from the statements of the Lord through disciplic succession, like that. So we'll, it's already 10:05. So we'll stop. So 10:35 we'll convene again and then we'll continue. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.